This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The aftermath of every social revolution brings about change. Cultural norms and landmarks shift as our minds and hearts expand beyond the familiar. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose in the land of the living. This is our time to renew, revive, and restore the hope lost to the busyness of life. This is our time to dig again and rebuild from the storms of our past on a solid footing that holds. Welcome to The Foundation.
The Foundation. Foundation.
The Foundation of Hearts Grant is brought to you by Alive, Bond for Bones, Burger King, Commonwealth Bank, Grand Bahama News, the Ministry of Tourism, the National Insurance Board, Marcos Pizza, Prince Masters, and Ross Electric Motors.
Gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio, Howard Grant in your company, The Foundation. It is a beautiful, absolutely gorgeous Monday afternoon. Glad to be in your company. Really, really excited about the thing. Yesterday was Mother's Day. I hope you guys had a beautiful time. I hope you guys and gals had a beautiful time. I got a shout out to my good girls and my family, right? I don't know. I just adopt prime. Don't fight me. I'm one of those people. You all about looking for family, I suppose. Don't fight me, right? Got a shout out to Coco Plum Bistro. Yesterday, my wife and my family, my son came down from school and, you know, just in time. So we kind of skipped out of church maybe 2 seconds earlier and had a beautiful lunch. Yesterday was mad humid. Can I say that? It was hot as hell yesterday. And I suppose that that's, given the fact that no mothers was in the kitchen, fathers was just doing their thing. It was hot yesterday, and I'm hoping that you guys had a great time. I had a good time down at Coco Plum Bistro. Got a shout out to Chantel and all those persons. Had a wonderful time, great setup. Everything was set beautifully, and I'm really very, very, very grateful for that. Happy Mother's Day to all those mothers out there celebrating. If no one has said it to you, it's indifferent. You're kind of different about it these times, this kind of day and age that we're sitting in. You look at people and say, this woman looked like a mother. She looked like a mother. Let me say Happy Mother's Day. Excuse me, sir. Excuse me? Huh? How did you know I'm not a mother? Okay? I'm sorry, ma'am. I do apologize. So you just got to be able to smile and nod. You can't even say anything. But happy Mother's Day to all those mothers that are celebrating Mother's Day one day away as we move closer to the most important day, which is Father's Day. Can I say that? With decency. Let's do that. In decency and in honor. Let's be able to do that, guys. It's a beautiful day. Got to shout out my good, decent people who are out there, Da Vinci's Printing and Innovators. They got everything laid out for you. Got to check them out. They are in the Village Road Shopping Plaza right there. Village Road, Burnett Road, Wolf Road, Soldier Road intersection, northern side. On the right-hand side, they can do everything for you. If you have a dream, an idea, a desire that you've kind of been scrabbling with, you know, in your scrapbook, and you want to be able to put professionalism to it and present this thing accordingly, please go down to Da Vinci Printing and Innovators. They can do that. If you have your seed envelopes, if you have your funeral booklets that you need to be done, if you have a graphic, if you have an idea that you want to be able to put something together, if you want a logo done, any of these things can be done at Da Vinci's Printing and Innovators. Please check them out, DaVinci242.com, DaVinciPrinting242.com, and they'd be more than happy to assist you in those areas. Guys, grateful to do that. I think we're going to have the Cat Island Association come here with us. Is it this week? Is it this week or next week? I don't know. I feel like the weeks are just kind of blurred together. Right? So we're going to be talking about that this week. I'm grateful for that. I seeing things that are kind of picking up in the Free National Movement as they gear up and get themselves prepared. I sent out a couple of my business prospects last night. I want to say this on air. Let's just do this on air in the space of decency, because depending on who decides to come with me, I don't want you to say, oh, Howard supporting these people. Excuse me. Howard is an equal play, equal skill employer. If you want to come out here and talk about your thing, please do that. Give me a call, 827-0111. I know this person. There are 50-some positions available in the Free National Movement. You may not be able to reach all those persons. Squeeze something together. Come and sit down and talk to me and why you may be the person, the best person to sit in this kind of position, unless you own the ticket, and then you feel like you're straight, right? But don't leave the thing up to chance. Give me a call, 827-0111. Cast your vision with us here on the foundation and let persons know exactly where you are. So I'm looking forward to being able to hear from you guys. 827-0111. There's a beautiful day out there, guys. Got a shout out to my good, decent people over at AFS Insurance Agents and Brokers. They got everything available for you. Make sure you check them out. They have insurance, right? So they got all the insurance. If you're looking for taxi, livery, jet ski, SD, and you want multiple vehicles insured, please go and check them out. They have in-house financing available for you. 341-1AFS. 341-1AFS. They got everything laid out for you. It is a beautiful, wonderful, glorious day. And I'm grateful to be in your company. Make sure you pick up the Guardian newspaper. All the information's in there. Please check it out. It says, I believe I'll get a second chance. I listened. I had a chance to be able to listen to Naughty on his sort of a posture and position. I think when he does the coldest, you watch that, you watch Naughty thing, right? He does the coldest, right? And on the most recent one, he said what I think a lot of persons are thinking. He said that the former prime minister, who's vying for a position yet again and looking for an opportunity to kind of move forward yet again, is taking on this posture and position that speaks to I, me. I wasn't finished. I. And if you listen to him, and you listen when he was sat, when he sat with Jerome, and you listen to him on this sort of a course and path, the I has faded out in society, right? So it's sort of a silent I in society. It's no longer that I has been transposed and found itself knocked out and replaced with we, or with the desire to be able to see we, not in just word, but in thought and application and actual deed. I just want to say that in decency as possible. We've spoken some time. We've spoken over the past, I want to tell you several months, more specifically, maybe a year, even with the inception of this show, the foundation. We started to talk about the course of politics changing in our society. We started to take on this kind of position in identifying language and empathy and where it needs to be placed strategically to identify some of the persons who have been disenfranchised. We've looked at that. We've talked about the fact that, and the reason why I would be able to call certain women and indicate that these particular women will be excellent for politics because of their empathy, because of their position, because of the natural estrogen that runs through them and the need for our society build on this sort of a matriarchal concept, right? And the need for our society to be able to have some of this energy and shifting for the forward movement and what's happening from a global perspective. I just wanted to say that. One of the things that we've identified is that leadership has, egotistical leadership has always identified their supremacy and placed it at the forefront. Let's be decent as we say this. There is leadership and there is ego attached to it in every step. But once ego becomes more inflated than the objective, which is your leadership, the path for productivity and growth and development, persons have a tendency to see you foreshadowing, surpassing the objective that you've been called to. The success that Barack Obama had during his run for campaign, during his run for president, was that he was strategic in identifying those persons that have been disenfranchised from the political stead and pulling them in with the concept that, yes, we can. Yes, we can. He made his mission your mission. You're voting for him, you know. He made his course your course. He did something unprecedented from a political standpoint and went to the lowliest of lowly men and said, contribute to this campaign. If you give $1, we'll accept it. He made a tremendous amount of money because people want to be a part of something bigger than them. Local politics have not figured that out as yet. Local politics still runs with the ego at the forefront and not necessarily soar with the egos in the concept and idea of inclusion. I want to talk about this. I want to talk about, and I don't think that this concept is confined solely to politics. I think in every subsector of our society, men and women seek to be identified as gods, as bigger than life. The be-all that ends all, that it begins and it ends with me in this space, that if it wasn't for me, then you would find no productivity. Now, I'm sorry to say that a lot of the things that I've heard from the former prime minister, I want to say this. What I've heard from him is sort of vulnerability, that he is willing to be able to lay himself on the line and put himself out there in a vulnerable state and state to you that this is what our intent is. All right, I messed up in a couple areas. You know, okay, I was a loner in these instances. I was a loner in this debt. Yeah, I became very distant. And I separated myself significantly from persons. And, you know, I didn't know who to trust. And so I leaned on some of these things. This is what I'm hearing from him. And in the midst of from hearing that, simultaneously, I still hear, I am not finished with this. I want to talk with him more. I'm sure that he's going to come. He made a commitment to come. So I'm sure that he's going to be able to sit here with us. And we're going to be able to scratch beyond the surface with that. Because the true litmus test of transformation is being able to dig and find what is filling your heart. Because that's how this kind of the shift takes place. Right? That's how this transfer takes place. So you have to pour more in to get the old out. And the only question is that during his time of separation from leadership, during that time that he lost, as he indicated, when you lost, that could be a bit the good thing for you because now you get to be down there with the people, you hear them, you see them. Has that shifted your mind? Has that filled you with a very understanding or the very understanding that's necessary for this time? Has that filled you with the required empathy to be able to move yourself to leadership again in the country. I'm going to talk about that. Guys, teens were shot dead in separate instances. I thought it was crazy over the weekend. I don't know. I keep comparing myself to young men and women in our country. And not necessarily their position in terms of how they grow up. But I think all of us have a desire, an aspiration, an idea of doing better in life. I think so many of us have conversation that when I become this age, when I get this age, right? As we were younger, boy, when I get, you know, we have this kind of an idea of being able to grow old. But it seems like that conversation has evaded us entirely. Amongst our youth, younger persons are not concerned about tomorrow. There is a steady idea and a relentless pursuit of acquisition today. I got to get me mines now. Instant gratification has become the sun, that shining beam and ball that people continue to be able to be mesmerized by and walk towards. That's it. Young people are affixed to getting theirs now. There's no plan, no succession plan, no plan for growth, development. There's just a bunch of dumb young people who want something and have no idea of the value associated with it. We have to talk about this. And our responsibility of being able to shift this from a societal standpoint. Our kids are consumed and they're watching some of the absolute silliest people on social media and emulating this. Subconsciously chucking education to the side and realizing that the only thing that's being glorified is this silly action, which ultimately, in many instances, leads to death. I want to be able to say to the family of the loved ones, of the lost, the person that lost his life, or the persons that lost their lives, that we continue to be able to pray for you as we do for the entire country, and hoping that we could be able to find ourselves beyond this. It's important. I think it's a great thing that we could be the recipients of the gold from the 40 thieves. Yeah. Of Alibaba's gold. I think that's what it is. I think we are always elated when Alibaba brings something for us, but take no consideration how Alibaba acquired this thing and the ultimate demise that awaits Alibaba. This won't be decent as I talk about these things. Guys, I want you to join me in conversation today and talk about where we are as a nation. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the family of violence, 242-342-300-5720. Hit me up, 422-4796. Guys, let me take this quick commercial break and be right back after this.
Marco's is bringing you a pizza experience like never before. Introducing our new pizzoli baked with house-made dough. Stuffed with 3 fresh cheeses and premium toppings. Spiced with irresistible garlic sauce and Romeshan seasoning for only $8.95. Choose from 4 incredible toppings. Buffalo chicken, pepperoni, chicken bacon ranch, and pepperoni and sausage. Order now at marcospizzabahamas.com. Every store, every day. Because this is not just pizza, it's the Italian way.
Bonneville Bones, established in 1970, is the leader in men's fashion in the Bahamas. We're conveniently located in the Mall at Marathon and the Harbor Bay Shopping Plaza, and fully stocked with everything you need for all occasions. Our Harbor Bay location is one door north of Alive, with the black and white signage of Bonneville Boutique. Both locations are open from 10 to 7 p.m., Monday through Saturday. Bonneville Bones and Bonneville Boutique, still the leader in men's fashion. Located in the Mall at Marathon and the Harbor Bay Shopping Plaza.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Foundation. And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM Radio. Howard Grant in your company. The Foundation. We are here live in full effect. I'd love you to give me a call. 323-6232. 325-4316. 325-4259. Anywhere for the family of islands. 242-300. 5720. Hit me up. 422-4796. Call on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Howard Grant.
Hey, good morning, my brother.
Good, good. Man, listen to me. I was so disturbed. The fang out that there is alleged that they're holding two 15-year-old boys. Mm-hmm. For those murders.
I think one was 15.
Children.
Based upon what I get, the information, this is all speculation. I haven't gotten anything confirmed. But I think one is allegedly 15 and one is allegedly 18. This is the information.
Okay, okay, but they're children.
Yeah, children. Adolescents, yeah.
A 15-year-old ain't gonna wake up this morning and go dig up one gun or go look for one gun and start shooting today. That was something that was in the making. Children can be a blessing and children can be a curse. If I have a 13, 14-year-old boy unruly and trying to arc out, I go to the nearest insurance company, the nearest one, and I put him just as big. All he has to do is be in good health and young. They like get them. And I will insure him. Now, on to Dr. Menes. I studied Dr. Menes this weekend. Dr. Menes can't beat Michael Pintard.
That's a quick
study. He had a chance.
That's a quick study.
If Dr. Menes, the people that was advising Dr. Menes, if they had, was advised, somebody have to be advising Dr. Menes who's working with Michael Pintard. Has to be. Because if I was advising Dr. Menes, the first thing I would do, I would have went into this convention as leader or opposition business in those assembly.
So you think he should take that angle?
It's too late now. It's too late. He has Crazy Thompson with him. Crazy Thompson had run against Pintard, so that means he don't believe in his leadership. He had Harm Lewis against Pintard because he ran against Pintard. He don't believe in Pintard leadership. Everybody know Adrian Gibson is supporting Dr. Menes. And then Dr. Menes, there's only seven of them. You can put three in the front of the four still the most. You can put one in front of three. Anyway, you look at it, four is more than three. He had failure. Now, in closing, his last swing now is on the day of election. Get his people out early. Early. And them old people, you can't rush them old people. Talk about, hey, I won't vote. You can't rush them. So you put the old people in the front, let them stall the line. Now, I don't know how this system is set up. Once you're in the room, you could vote.
Sir.
And once you're in the room, you can you have to beat them somehow.
That don't work.
If he goes straight ahead up now, then that beat him,
No, I don't. Okay. Well, I appreciate the telephone call. I'm going to fight you. I can respond to what I believe. I appreciate it. Thank you so much for your telephone call. But I don't see it working like that. I don't see it working like that. I just want to be as decent as possible. I have had several calls over the weekend. And they're becoming more frequent on the weekends. At one point, at least, you'll let me chill out for the weekend. But I suppose with sort of the uptick in what's happened from a political standpoint, I can get some calls. I'm not going to fight the calls. And one of the calls asked me a very sincere and honest question. Howard, where are the white faces in the FNM? I said, what? So I said, obviously, the deflecting thing and the go-to would be Brent Simonet, Adrian White. No, Howard, that's not what I'm talking about. I said, okay, so what do you mean? Howard, historically, the Free National Movement has been funded by whites and Greeks and so forth and so on, right? And there are people that speak with sort of a legacy mindset, right? They speak with this sort of an ownership mindset for the Free National Movement, that the same language which Hubert Ingraham spoke about leadership, right? If I don't have it, they will have it, right? And speaking of strategic families within the organization, families that have been identified at the forefront of leadership in the organization. And they've asked me that question and said that the whites have been disenfranchised significantly within the Free National Movement, that they don't have representation that equates to their contribution, as though those black faces from the inception of the organization that continues to be able to identify the disenfranchised whites looking for finances but never looking for contribution. I said, well, this is a strong conversation. This is a very strong conversation, because I've never thought of it like that. Right now, if we open up the lines and we start to have a conversation, and someone will call and say, the FNM is the UBP. But this call refuted that. The call that I received over the weekend refuted that significantly and indicated, Howard, there is solely a desire to acquire finances to fuel the organization. And as soon as there is a desire to speak up and say, this is my, now I'm not talking about the upper echelon, top end persons who are perceived to be in strategic positions. I'm talking about those persons in Blair State. I'm talking about those persons in Spanish Wells. I'm not talking about specifics, man. I'm talking about a conglomerate of persons who've been disenfranchised. And so I listened to the conversation. I said, I've never thought of it like that. Because when you see one, there's an expectation that there is the proverbial army or the grouping that's behind it. You say, oh, that doesn't go like that. That doesn't go like that. Because I'd like to be able to say some things about this, this, and this. And the conversation went like this. He says, Howard, it pissed me off when we were having conversations and I was sitting down and just being able to hear how people speak of the organization. Oh, my family run the FNM. Oh, my, and it did something. And so I was taken back by him, by this discussion. And I realized that leadership has not done well with identifying the infractions and being able to open its doors for true inclusion. The Free National Movement is really at the precipice of breaking down. I'm going to say that. I'm going to be decent as I say that. Leadership, no matter who that may be, has a responsibility of being able to fix what's the matter on the inside of the organization first. I did not know that there was a separation in the organization like this. I thought it was merely towards leadership and identifying who the collective thought was a better leader than the other. But as I look at it now, and I'm listening to this conversation, trusted voices in the Free National Movement, trusted voices in the country from a professional standpoint. And I'm saying, this is an amazing thing. And so I would get right to the point. What do you think about leadership? Well, Howard, we believe that both candidates are arrogant. What? There is significant support for one candidate over the other, but we believe that both candidates are arrogant. They're consumed with themselves. They don't understand the objective of what's happening from a collective. And I say, well, this is the same position that blacks are taking in the society. This is the same position. Oh, my name checking for us. This is the same language. So let's get back to this leadership conversation. I started off by telling you I listened to Naughty. I listened to Naughty on the coldest, and Naughty indicated that all I heard was I, me, me, me. And then you open up the paper, and the prime minister is quoted, I believe I'll get second chance. Minis Bahamians know I care about them. But has there been any consideration that Bahamians need to hear beyond the eye? There has been no consideration for the we. And the we doesn't include the disenfranchised grassroots only. Now, over the weekend, I've come to find out that the disenfranchised also includes what we perceive to be the elites. That they've been ignored. Strategic families or individuals, groupings, have been called upon to assist from a financial standpoint, but the idea for inclusion in this dispensation has been rejected. The question that I have is whether or not Michael Pintard has done enough to pull those persons in. Because it's clear, it's evident that Michael Pintard enjoys significant support from representation based upon what we've seen over the past few days of Brent Simonet. But dare I say that's an individual. That you could be able to make the assumption that there is a conglomerate, a grouping behind him, but he as an individual stands. The call that I got indicated that there are significant persons of a lighter hue that feels disenfranchised. Can a convention shift this? Can a convention fix this? Or does it take the type of leader that can identify the issues and speak directly to the matter? That's all I want to know. And who's that leader? Is that leader Michael Pintard? Or is that leader Hubert Minnis? Give me a call. Let's talk about it. Let's identify these particular things. I don't know, based upon the caller, I don't know whether or not a weekend study of Dr. Minnis could lead you to the perspective and position that that he's going to lose. And I don't want you to box me into a space and place that when I provide you information, it seems like I'm supporting Dr. Minnis wholeheartedly. But I must remind you of history. I must remind you that there was a conglomerate that unified their forces, their language, and put pen to paper, took him out of the position in the House of Assembly, and sought to take him out in his position as leader of the organization. A conglomerate that allegations indicate that the puppet master, my God, I just want to be decent, supported this grouping. And at the very end, Dr. Minnis stood victorious. Let's not forget these things, ladies and gentlemen. I keep telling you, I've identified him as the political lone coconut tree after the storm. That one ban after another keep hitting him, and we expect him, based upon what we know from a traditional political standpoint, we expect him to fall. We expect, well, that's it. My God, he can't take no more than that. We expect him to fall, and he has yet to fall. The one question I was waiting for Jerome to ask him, why you let Halsin Mutri get so deep under your skin? Important question. Because it seems that Halsin Mutri was the straw that broke the camel's back. No matter what was happening, why did you allow Halsin Mutri to push you beyond the point of no return? What I'm hearing is very childish. It lacks maturity. but I suppose that it could be expected based upon the rhythm and tradition of politics in our country, that grown men and women are angry because Minnis didn't allow them that extra 8 months to pay their bills, to pay one bill or another, that he went to a snap election. And as a result of going to a snap election, he caused these problems for me. Never taking into consideration that the opportunity that you was given was also given by him. That there are many FNMs disenfranchised that have never been gotten an opportunity to do anything. They ain't got a contract or nothing. You live well for 4 years and some, and you're mad. My God. This is sheer immaturity. That you lack the ability to sit on your own bottom. Every tub has a responsibility to do so. Your relentless dependency on politics placed you in the position that you live and die with what decisions make with these people. Come on, man. Let's talk about this. Our country is having major issues. Our country is having tremendous issues. There are young people dying day after day, and there's no one from a leadership standpoint that we can be able to identify to lend encouragement and pour encouragement into these young people. We got to be able to talk about this. I want you guys to be able to participate in this. I got to take this next commercial break, and then we're going to get to news. I want you to be able to do this. I want you to participate with me in this conversation for national growth and development. It has to go beyond politics. It has to go beyond Minnis or Michael Pintard or Dwayne Sands or anyone who has aspirations to creep at the pinnacle of leadership. It has to go beyond that for the Free National Movement. It has to go beyond the concept and idea of being able to move the media with the rhythm of whatever the PLP expects. It has to go beyond that. It's time for us to wake up and start thinking. It's time for us to wake up and identify that we have been goosied. That's it. You know, one of two ways to say that. That we have become the conch. And in the midst of this conversation, we must consider conservation. We must. How do we survive? How do we get to a position of thriving? And how do we get our country back on course? Let's take this quick commercial break, ladies and gentlemen, get to news, and be right back after this.
The foundation. The foundation. The foundation. The foundation. The foundation.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Great news! Ron's Electric Motors new location on Cowpen Road, right next to Island Lock, is open Saturdays and Sundays. So for those needing repairs on electric motors, generators, welding machines, water pumps, battery chargers, electric lifts, transformers, and power tools, Ron's Cowpen Road location can have you up and running on weekends. Don't forget, you can still visit Ron's Electric Motors on Wolf Road and Claridge Road, and now Ron's new location on Cowpen Road. Dial 356-0249 or 323-5267.
Explore the wonders of the Bahamas at Sun, Sand, and Souvenirs, brought to you by the Tourism Development Corporation. This 8-store retail treasure chest is located on Bay Street, just 2 doors east of Bayside Food Store. Build a pal with your child. Purchase authentic Bahamian artwork or dazzling jewelry. It's a shopping adventure where the possibilities are endless. We're open 7 days a week, so join us today and let's create a community where innovation and opportunity thrive. See you there.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Foundation. And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio, Howard Grant in your company, The Foundation. It is a beautiful Monday afternoon. Grateful to be in your company. We're just talking about where we are in the country right now. Please give me a call, 323-623-2325-4316-325-4259. Anywhere for the family of islands, 242-300-5720. Hit me up, 422-4796. The line's going to be open for you guys whenever you decide to be able to call. And I just won't be able to shoot straight. If you're just tuning in, at the top of the hour, we had one conversation. We had a gentleman call in and start to talk to us more specifically about the fact that he doesn't believe that Dr. Menis can be able to win on June 1st. Now, I'm indifferent with that. I started to talk about the fact, and I hate to do this because you feel like, he's a defender of Dr. Menis. He must, I only want to tell you what is on the facts. These are the facts. These are irrefutable facts that we've seen. That the whole hog was thrown after Dr. Menis, and he ducked the thing and then roasted it. The whole hog, proverbially, politically, has been thrown at him from support behind the scenes, up and down, to be able to ensure that they can oust him, and he stood steadfast in the organization. I can't throw a man like that out. I have to wait. I have to see. The only race I had any objection to in the organization was the chairmanship. I've already stated with no uncertainty why I've said what I've said. I've only stated, that's it. I don't know one business, and maybe I have some feelings towards that because I myself was up for this particular position. I know what I had to do in terms of preparation. I know what I had to do in terms of being able to call left, right, and center to talk about concepts and ideas that can unify the organization. And I know what I didn't see. So you can fight me, but I tell them, the people I take in the fast, I'm not bothering with them no more. I ain't calling nobody name. We can leave it like that. But as we look at this leadership race, the only thing that I decided to do is just watch as an observer. And being able to observe these things, I myself cannot throw Dr. Menis under the bus and say he's not going to get it. I can't say that. Those people who support Michael Pintard will do their damnedest to ensure that you can identify other persons who are voting delegates to support him the same. Because you know who we're dealing with. You know. Michael Pintard came out 1 week before the close of nomination. So he came out on a Friday, indicated that nominations would open on Monday at 9 a.m. and close on Friday at 5 p.m. He came out on a Friday and indicated this. And as he did that, I got a telephone call. And so I got some telephone calls and indicated that Dr. Menis would run. I knew this from that Friday. He never said that he would actually do that until the week after. But I knew this from that Friday. And from then, I made a couple of telephone calls and I said to them, I say, hey, listen, they tell me that Dr. Minister ain't even going to nominate. They don't expect him to. I said, this is council members. I said, these are people that are very close to Dr. Minnis. I only know these people as a result of Dr. Minnis. And these people who I know via Dr. Minnis says to me that they're no longer supporting Dr. Minnis, which I thought was peculiar. Right off the top, I might as well tell you the truth, which I thought it was extremely peculiar. One. And two, they know the nature of Dr. Minnis and that he will not give himself for nomination come Friday. I said, well, this is indifferent. So I waited Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And during this time, based upon information that I received, Dr. Minnis was making his calls to find out where his support lie. And on Friday, when we kick off the show, just before we kick off the show on Friday, Dr. Minnis nominated as chairman, as the candidate to be potential leader, for the organization. He nominated. And so just Garth and I and other persons, we sat down and we just started to have a conversation. And I said, Dr. Minnis would not nominate if he did not know where his support lies. It's just numerical. It doesn't make sense. Why would he even put his name forward if he didn't know where his support lie? And then I thought about it and I said, well, this is the same organization where I got 18 votes and 300 and some people said, how would I voted for you? I said, you think these people lied to him? I said, but you can't lie to a man who got money. What do I mean by that? Yeah, because if you're in a vulnerable state, and based upon the last election and the snap election, a lot of the persons indicated that I never got anything. And if you're in a vulnerable state, that's only a conversation. If this is how traditional campaign, this is how it goes in the country. And so I asked them, what can Pintard offer you? Or rather, what has Pintard offered you? This is intrigued. I'm extremely intrigued. I need to know. And so today when we hear people take on this posture to say that Dr. Minnis is not going to win, I just need to know, quantify that for me. Quantify it for me. I don't have a horse in this race. I'm an observer like many persons. I've been talking to a great deal of people, trying to figure out exactly what's what. I want to be able to present myself neutral. Anything I offer to Dr. Minnis' camp, I offer to Michael Pintard's camp as it relates to being able to come on air to talk about your stuff. There is no bias here. Trust me. I need to know with neutrality where you stand. But I need to understand, do you dismiss a man solely because you're done with him? Or because you don't believe that he's capable? Let's take a telephone call. Caller on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Howard.
What's up, Bantot?
I don't know what to say, Howard. Listening to this conversation, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I tuned in a little late, but I understand I understand the path that you're on. And I had some time while I was driving in between to catch up on which you started to speak to on Friday, Dr. Minnis, interview
mm-hmm.
on the record, mm-hmm. right?
You watch it?
Yeah, I watched it.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw the headlines. I saw the headlines for The Guardian today, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you see the headlines, Albert?
Yeah, I believe I'll get second chance.
Oh.
Menace, behemoths know I care. That's the headline.
Now, look here, Howard. Now, before I say anything else, let me say to you, I don't expect for you as an independent host who refused to be sidelined or censored or diverted from speaking facts and from speaking to all parties while you are ZNS, right?
Mm-hmm.
The nation station.
Mm-hmm.
I don't expect for you to take that kind of position where you are in a more independent position at Guardian 96.9.
Right.
Right?
Right.
I don't expect you to be cowering, Howard. And so I say that to say, despite people may not appreciate fully you conversing, certainly I conversing and others joining in, and I'm analyzing them for chairmanship of the FNM, I don't expect for you to submit and acquiesce to those kinds of positions, Howard.
Mm-hmm.
You would lose my respect as an individual.
Right.
I expect for you to continue to stand up as a behemoth, as an advocate, as a nationalist, as an observer, and as someone who wants to see better for behemoths.
Absolutely.
Including yourself.
Absolutely.
Including myself. And so, let me start there. I see coming out the gate of the chairman for the FNM, he's bringing a lot more fire, Howard. Howard, I see he's getting a fire in his belly now. Howard.
I got nothing to say.
I listen to the news update, and he's no longer slouching back in that comfy chair.
You shouldn't have been laughing like this on the big radio today.
He's throwing some fastball and some curveball. Let me move on from him and get
go ahead. Go ahead.
Get to the main race. And I
observed the scene, but I said nothing. You see me? I said nothing.
But Howard, I'm calling you forward.
Okay, good.
As a man who speaks truth to power.
Okay, good.
To step out of that and snap out of that. Don't let nobody put you in that position.
I like that, Antoine. I appreciate that.
Not even Prime Minister Davis. Don't let no one put you in that position.
Antoine, they call me. They say, man, Jesus, man, Howard, man. You had the people for lunch every day.
We expect better. And so what?
I say, let me take a fast from you all then.
If they're on the menu, we have to dissect them.
Listen,
and it won't always be them. Sometimes it'll be other people too.
You better believe it.
But they happen to be the ones being dissected today.
And they ain't like that. That's uncomfortable for them.
Such is life. You know, we have to do better as politicians and as behemoths.
Okay,
you know, that's one of the reasons, Howard, why things don't get any better in the country, you know, Howard. Because when you start to apply pressure in order to bring change, the people you're applying pressure to are going to be the ones crying the loudest. But
Antoine,
that don't mean
heavy.
You stop applying pressure.
Antoine, this is heavy what you're saying.
You have to serve that medicine like Dr. Menace like to say. Anyway, let me move on to Dr. Menace. I'm Howard.
Yeah, right here.
You can never count a prime minister out in this country.
Come on now.
Who has only served one term. You can never count a prime minister out in this country who has only served one term.
We thought Christie was done.
The behemoth people get tired of you after they give you a second chance,
mm-hmm.
and you still mess up.
Mm-hmm.
The behemoth people get tired of you after they give you a second chance and they still don't see an improvement. So you could never count a prime minister out in this country who has only served one term. In addition to that, as you've acknowledged, as I've been speaking to over the last several weeks to months, as it relates to Dr. Menace, we've seen what he was up against during the 2017 elections. We've seen where he lost the official opposition position, but he still maintained leader of the FNM. We've seen where the money, the influence in the FNM, led by one Scott, came out and said he doesn't have enough electricity he doesn't generate enough electricity to electrocute a mosquito.
Yes.
And then he went on to electrocute the entire PLP, right?
Yes.
The party that I support. And you saw the entire FNM lined up behind him, right?
Yes.
Those who didn't think he had the
the electricity and those who never spoke out publicly, they all aligned behind him. And we saw where some people jumped ship who was against him, right? And left their partners out in the wilderness, right?
Mm-hmm.
And their partner has since left the FNM and joined in with the PLP.
Wow.
You know what I'm talking about.
Anton, you wild.
Who am I talking about? I won't go quickly.
I call no name. I call
the
mission.
I
know,
on,
LBT. LBT. LBT, I'm not going to fight you. Go ahead.
Go with me, Howard.
Go
with,
I read here.
Are we speaking truth to power on your show, Howard?
You're speaking the truth. You're right here.
So come on, man. Let's have a real conversation. Don't be calling around you. Otherwise, we can lose respect to you.
No, I ain't going to do that. Go ahead.
Yes, and so, we saw where Dr. Menes set aside those who were fighting against him, galvanized his team, and went on to form government, 35-4.
Yes.
An historical win in this country.
Yes.
Right? One that would be talked about for centuries in our country. It was that important and that major victory.
Mm-hmm.
We also saw where he lost with an historical defeat. Right?
Yes.
But he's still relevant. He still has great political currency. And he's about to spend that political currency. And I don't think a man who's amassed very successful medical and financial seating in the country spends foolishly. I don't think a man who took on the leading FNM in this country, the leading FNM outside of those founders of the FNM, the leading FNM would be Hubert Ingraham. Because none of them brought success to the FNM the way he did, right?
Mm-hmm.
Menes separated himself entirely from FNM. It took guts to do that. That ain't no little boy action.
I like what you're saying, Anton. I like what you're saying.
You need a man. He showed himself to be someone who stands on his own two feet, Howard.
Mm-hmm.
And he could, financially and every other way.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not me speaking up for no minutes. Don't get me twisted.
Mm-hmm.
This is me speaking truth to power. So you can never disregard someone who stands on their own two feet,
mm-hmm.
someone who is prepared to come to the people and apologize for their
mm-hmm.
wrong,
mm-hmm.
someone who's still in the fight. You can never disregard them.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the kinds of people, Howard, who God works through, as you should know.
This is
you're
heavy.
A man of the Bible.
This is heavy. This is heavy what you're saying, Anton. My lines lit right up since you didn't start it off now. Let me go to these people.
Hold on. Let me end right here. And so what I want to end on in saying, as I always do, Howard, we are about 2.5 years in to the Davis government. Mr. Davis has all power, all authority to separate himself, to regain where he has lost goodwill, to make up for the bad that has been done, to get things right. And if he does that, no matter what track comes upon him, he will remain victorious, and he will go on to form government again. But if he doesn't get it together, Howard...
Anton, this is heavy what you're saying.
We would be out. Thank you for the opportunity. God bless.
I appreciate you. That's heavy what you're saying, because first and foremost, this prime minister... If any separation took place, should have been very clear two PLP conventions ago. Let's be decent. If there was a desire, a specific path of separation, that should have happened two conventions ago. When persons indicate that Brave is the man. And then subsequently there was a conversation that was being had. And as a result, Brave sat back and allowed former Prime Minister Perry Christie to be able to take on this kind of position and lead the Progressive Liberal Party to significant defeat. As a result of this defeat, the PLP found itself being able to form again. And so they utilized what they had, identified those particular things, found their strength, came back together, made some modifications to their constitution, to their position. They empowered young people, did everything. This was the accoutrements now. This is only superficial. All this was the aesthetics of the organization. Let's be decent. This is only the look. From a look standpoint, we didn't know what was happening behind the scenes. From a look standpoint, they strategically put youth in place. They did everything. And the leadership of the organization was Philip Brave Davis. So you thought that everything was going to happen. But if we start to really dissect this thing, Anton, some of the first pronouncements of not only the cabinet for Brave Davis, but also where it took place, which was Bahama, solidifying and being able to speak to the position that the former leader had in the organization. Justify. Come on, this we can need more than 2 hours than this. We can need more than 2 hours than this. From 2002 to 2007, there was no legacy. We cannot identify far and wide what the PLP has done for the country under the leadership of Perry Christie, former Prime Minister Perry Christie. Far and wide, we look for it. He was ousted. PLPs was upset with him. He came back with hat in hand to be able to get an opportunity from 2012 to 2017. From 12 to 17, more than 3.5 years of that time was spent on being able to, what he has coined, his legacy. To pour energy into what he has coined and identified as his legacy. And what is that? Bahama. So to justify, solidify, identify that this was not in vain, the very first opening in the House of Assembly was done in Bahama. So I only say that to say, if there was any separation that was going to take place, it should have taken place already. Now that we are on course and this speed demon of a train that continues to be able to move forward, whatever is on there is on there. There's no modifications that can be made. There was one juncture, one stop that was made in September of 2023. One stop. One shuffle. The organization had made one shuffle. The PLP made one stop and made a couple shuffles based upon perception. The train had to stop twice. An emergency stop had to happen when Cabinet Minister Obi Wilchcombe passed away. And for the most part, no one came in, no one, they shuffled what was on the train. The new introduction to that would have been Kingsley Smith. Anton, everything you say, I ain't gonna fight you. But the truth of the matter is that whatever we see from Philip Brave Davis in this particular capacity, I don't think he can change at this point. I don't think I think that this is it. He can't change at this point. This is the course, this is the idea, this is the path, and come hell or high water, he has to go with this. He has to go with this. And the most he can do is to create in your mind the idea of progression, growth, and development. So you identify the voices and the position, the median that can be able to give you that idea. And the median is the media, for the most part. So this is only illusion. This may only be smoke and mirrors. The only reason we're not being able to identify with strength and tenacity about what's happening in the PLP is because we're looking at the FNM and trying to make a determination is whether or not the leadership that's coming forward can be able to dissect this for themselves. Or are they calling you and asking you for blight? Let me take a telephone call. Caller, go on the line. I ain't gonna fight you. Caller, go ahead. Is that a call? No. 323-623-2323-254-316-325-4259 anywhere from the family violence 242-300-5720. Hit me up 422-4796. Let me read some of these texts. So this is good afternoon. Good morning, Mr. Grant. Your Alibaba context is right. We always look for a bag or a bag man. It says, good day, sirs. Great show until the Bahamian people are looking for a new Bahamas with growth and production. We was focused on strong men and women to build the Bahamas for all generation. Today, we want Davis, Pintard, and Cooper to run the country. Hold on, wait. Davis, Pintard, and Cooper to run the country? I suppose that is leadership and opposition. I'm not going to fight him. That's from Rudy down there in Freeport. It says, tell minister get out and stay out of the Bahamian governance and the country building. The competent authority has failed the Bahamas. That's again, That's again from Rudy in Grand Bahama. Shout out to Rudy. Says, what is the pension for two-term prime ministers as opposed to one term? Which people's time is it? In the second term or for this second minister term? When the elite whites start complaining about disenfranchisement, is it time for us to pack up and go back to Africa? This is a lot what you're texting today. That's bananas that you arranged that like that. I'm not going to fight you. So it's good afternoon, Howard, and the Bahamas. Howard, the analysis can analyze as much as they want. But sad to say, Dr. Menace enjoyed the kind of support when he was made prime minister in 2017. It wasn't the big broker's money that got Dr. Menace elected. They came on board when they saw Doc was bound to win without them. But Doc blew it by being too trivial with the folks that made him prime minister. As the text is coming through, just to dissect your text at this 11:30, at this 1:30 point, right? To dissect your text. Let's read this again. I can dissect it. The analysis can analyze as much as they want. But sad to say, Dr. Menace, I don't believe enjoyed the kind of support when he was made prime minister in 2017. It wasn't a big broker's money that got Dr. Menace elected. They came on board when they saw that Doc was bound to win without them. But Doc blew it by being too trivial with the folks that made him prime minister. I want to ask this question. Who are the folks that made him prime minister? That's a question I have. Who are the folks that made Dr. Menace prime minister? If you're indicating that the big brokers had no hand in this, but he blew it when he became too trivial with the people that made him prime minister, who are the folks that he blew it with? Was it us, the Bahamian electorate? Because for the most part, he could have never gotten to the position of being identified as party leader and eventually prime minister through those big brokers within the organization. Now, if he surpassed and superseded those big brokers in the organization, then who did he blow it with? Because all we did was vote the PLP out. Based upon the information that comes, based upon what y'all saying, that we don't vote for prime ministers, we don't vote prime ministers in, we vote governments out. We vote. Now, if you voted the PLP out and you ousted the former prime minister, Perry Christie, who did you really vote for? Let's talk about this. The question I have is that, what does this mean when he said the Ingram era is over? I often make fun of that and poke fun of that as we look and we dissect his leadership and the social sentiment associated with Dr. Menace. I say, was he indicating that it's E-R-R-O-R? And is his E-R-R-O-R over, his era, as opposed to Ingram's E-R-A? I often poke fun at that and try to dissect and understand what Dr. Menace meant. And so I got some clarity. And the clarity is, Ingram stepped down. Nobody made him do this. He stepped down. He conceded. He stepped down. He pushed the leadership forward and said, I'm not going to bother with that. And if he's done all those things, then his era, his rulership, his leadership was over. I asked that question. And in asking that question, that is the clarity that came to the forefront. So as I'm asking this question, every candidate, maybe save four, in the last Menace administration has been identified for the team that Menace put together. Save maybe four or five. Let's be decent. I could start to call these people names. So who did Menace, who was he trivial with? Who was he indifferent with? Who? We're going to have to get to the bottom of this and try to figure it, because this may be the key to whether or not we're going to see victory for Menace on June 1st or whether or not there's going to be a significant defeat. Significant defeat. There's no two ways about this. This cannot be a close race. This has to be a blowout. It has to be. Whether it's a blowout for Michael Pintard or a blowout for me, this cannot be a close race on June 1st. It cannot be. It cannot be. It cannot be. There is no apparent split in the Free National Movement as it relates to who they're supporting. But Minnis travails. Minnis persists. Why? Telephone call. Go ahead. Go ahead, caller.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How you doing?
Howard, I've been on this phone waiting 19.
Caller. Let me take the next telephone call. Caller on the line. Go ahead.
Hi, Howard Brown. How are you?
I'm good, man. What's happening?
Awesome, awesome. Good show. Howard, listen, man, in my humble and personal opinion, I think, see, we as Bahamian, we take so many things so small. But I want you all to know that this here convention for the Free National Movement is a very big deal.
I think it is.
In the Commonwealth of the Bahamas.
I think it is a humongous deal.
And I think that Bahamians are to now reflect and to pray and ask the Almighty that His hands intervene. Because we need leaders. We need leadership. We need real leadership to bring change in this country.
I agree with you.
I'm one that don't want to. I'm feeling in my heart that Minnis had an opportunity to reflect. I'm feeling that he had an opportunity to see where he would have made some of his mistakes. And I believe if Minnis is given another opportunity to be prime minister in this country, I believe he will fix a lot of things. I feel that in my heart. So I think Bahamians need to now reflect and pray and get the Almighty involved in their decisions in terms of re-electing a leader for the Free National Movement, because we know if it is in the PLP, it's going to be the FNM. So we want to ensure that the right kind of leader gets the helm of this country.
I like what you said.
To move us to the next level.
I like what you're saying. Thank you, man. I appreciate your telephone call. I like what you're saying. I do like it. Let me tell you why. Because it don't matter who the leadership is in the Free National Movement, whether it's Michael Pintard, whether it's Minnis. It doesn't matter. Let's just be very clear about this. The only thing that matters is that there is a wide range of intellect that they're surrounded by. They're not blocking persons off to ensure that the money gets significant seat at the table. They're not blocking those persons who are yes men and that commit their service to them and their leadership gets a seat at the table. They are open and inclusive enough to understand it for the country. That is where your legacy begins and ends. That you have identified the men and women strong enough in the organization that be able to have their heart beyond the Constitution of the Free National Movement. And their heart affixed to the Constitution of this country. That's it. That is the only thing that matters. That your team has a heart for growth and development in this country. Continue to insulate yourself with yes men, then there could be no expectation that your success and your legacy will not identify you as an egotistical, maniacal, maniac of a leader, a totalitarian, consumed with his or herself. You have to know what is good for the country. And this conversation, like your text, I appreciate your telephone call. This conversation is solely indicating that we can no longer give social promotion, that we can no longer identify yes men, that we can no longer consume ourselves with what's good for us as individuals, but not what's good for the country. Let me take this next telephone call. Call on the line. Go ahead. Go ahead, caller.
Yes. Hey, Howard. How are you doing? Cialin Johnson.
What's up, Cialin?
Yeah, just a couple of things, right? Have you ever heard about Peter's principle?
I can't say that.
Where it says that you will eventually be promoted to the level of your incumbency. You know, do you know Einstein and others also reached that particular thing where even for some of their theories, they've never been able to prove it, and others came after them to do the same thing? I think Minnis was an excellent doctor who took over the party, and as prime minister, it showed that he reached the level of Peter's principle of this incumbency. Let's go over some things he said.
Hold on before you go forward, because I feel like that description fits somebody else. I feel like we have taken so much of the effort of identifying that the leadership, it rises and falls on leadership, but leadership insulates itself for the right people. That both the deputy and the chairman has a responsibility of the forward movement of the organization. This concept and idea, especially social promotion, cannot only be applied to Dr. Menace.
No, it isn't. But this is
okay,
why
talk to me.
You could look at the current leadership of the FNM and see an individual like for me for 20 years that has, what do you say, go back and forth. And I can adequately say without intelligent dispute for anyone who's willing that Michael Pintat represents something different than for the last 25 years I've been home. In engaging him and in listening to him and in listening to the message of reconciliation, inclusion, inclusivity, as well as
now,
collective intelligence.
I haven't done this before, but I can do this with you because I
Go
know
ahead.
That you're extremely articulate. I haven't done this before. I don't know if this is going to get dirty. I don't expect it to. I'm hoping that it doesn't. This internal fight within the Free National Movement. I'm hoping that it doesn't get dirty.
No, it should not get dirty because Minutes already conceded. Minutes already conceded in this interview.
However, now watch me. However, in the event that Michael Pintard acquires this position of leadership in the Free National Movement and he steps out to the position of becoming seeking to become the prime minister of this country, what do you believe are some of the downfalls, some of the infractions that he suffered and faced over the years that he will be accosted with, that will come to the forefront for him? Give me the first one.
No, there will be none in the past. You must look.
There cannot be none. No.
No, I'm saying to you, no. See, people can bring up the past.
Of course, that's the first thing they can
do.
No,
that's what I'm saying. No, but that's what I'm saying. But see, Michael Pintard is the type of leadership that is not going to allow that to become his distraction. His job and his role as leader of the country is to bring the best mind, the best people, the best thinkers within the country and from around the diaspora, and to buy the expertise that we don't have to build a new Bahamas. The Bahamas is in a critical crisis environment from energy. Energy and data and technology is the currency of the 21st century. It has been proven, and Dr. Menace has proven this too, that he did not bring back any strategy or policies or anything that he can't present that he need to finish that will move us forward into the 21st century. It can't. We're struggling with that right now with this administration.
See,
so if you take Menace at his role, remember, on that interview, Dr. Menace said he had no idea of what the FNM believes. He said that in their current position. He said, I know what I believe. But hold a second. Are you the FNM whenever you...
Seattle.
Yes.
In the space of decency, you was a smart man. No one can take that from you. But you cannot take it out of context. Now, the context,
no,
it's like
they
take one verse and they don't take the verse before that. That's
no,
in context.
Watch the interview. He asked him.
I watched the whole interview.
Right. And what did I ask him about the FNM? And his answer was, but he said,
he
I can't speak to
current,
what the FNM
he's
or Pintard would do.
He's not the current leader of the Free National Movement.
No, but he's a member of the party that he's seeking to lead. We don't have a stupid menace versus the PLP. You have an FNM versus the PLP going into an election. He says, go back and listen again. Okay, when asked, what is their position of policy? It's like, thing he basically said, I don't know where they are. Wait a minute, this is a guy who's supposed to be coalition with them, with them right now, planning effort and supporting them, who supported him, the organization. He doesn't know what they will do, but he know what he will do, not the party, what he will do. That means what? He's going to create the policy. He's going to create the idea. We've had his experience. Listen to me. The last time he gave somebody a second chance, Terry Glass on Christie. You see what he did to us? So badly he gave us Menace. What the hell we will get if we give Menace a second chance? Are we going to go fall back that
this
far?
This is crazy that you would say that.
Yeah, I'm saying. See, you give people a second chance of Menace. Has Menace told us what he left in health unfinished? Education unfinished? The housing insecurity, he has finished, how he's going to resolve it. The job labor deficiency he's left in place. The food crisis that he has. The national security crisis. The immigration crisis he didn't resolve.
the key to the resolving our national debt?
But
the economic reform that he promised?
Every time I talk with you, I know where your support lies, and I don't have a problem with it. You cannot be disingenuous by being able to not provide the proper analysis of these things and provide a contrast.
Proper analysis.
We got to give a contrast.
Menas came on the air with his record asking he has unfinished. What did he say he has unfinished? What did Freedom of Information Act, the Transparency Act, Accountability, Integrity, the Anti-Corruption, the Term Limits he promised us, the Finance Reform he promised us, the Land Reform he promised us, a fixed day for election he promised us, the focus on the poor that he promised us? I know Menas. I sat under him in my gut and watched him for 4 years and
all
3 months.
All of us sat under him. He was the Prime Minister.
Okay, so we don't need to guess who Menas is. Menas, when somebody says, well, don't what if somebody says, when somebody show you who they are, believe them.
I'm not going to fight you. Appreciate you.
So Menas has showed us who he is and his dictatorial stance. Menas proved almost everything the dissident people with the FNM said about him. He proved it. Take the time and reflect.
Okay, so let's do this. Let me ask you this question, all right? And then I got to take this commercial break.
Let me just make one point.
What are Menas being said?
Hold on.
Right. What is being said about Michael Pintard in a negative light? In a negative light, what is being spoken about Michael Pintard?
I don't know of any that has
that is
any
bananas that you could only hear one side. That's crazy.
No, I don't hear one side. No, listen to me. I say to you, I don't hear anything that has any serious implications on his leadership ability. I don't.
I'm not going to fight you.
Okay, now I understand the whole negativity that people say, but see, we're in a new dispensation. But let me ask you a question. How do someone say they believe in second terms, but they couldn't finish the first? Okay, Howard?
Listen, how could someone... saying. I'm not going to fight you.
Let me ask you a question. Is he talking about two terms for Brave Davis? Because he didn't finish one.
Yeah, but
he's trying to say...
Let's not misconstrue these particular things. Let's talk about these things. The Prime Minister Christie did not finish. He didn't do nothing. And from 2002 to 2007.
No. Listen to me, please. He said he believed in two terms. Perry Christie did his two terms.
Why does he believe in two terms?
Did Menas finish one term? Yes or no?
No, he didn't finish one term.
Okay. So what two terms are you talking about? So now he's talking about one and he's talking about a term and a piece now, right? For him to do two terms. You don't have that time.
I can talk. I have to be able to talk to you about these particular things. I appreciate your telephone phone call. I want to talk to you more about this, and I want to be able to be very fair and honest and balanced about these things. First and foremost, why would Menas say this? Why would Menas say this? Let's be decent about it, and let's look at the former prime ministers. Let's look at Lyndon Pinlin. Let's look at Hubert Ingraham. Let's look at Perry Christie. Let's understand the historic value of being able to contribute more than 5 years. What can anyone get done in 5 years? I agree, Damani, in articulating some things correctly. But for some reason, I understand what he's trying to say. And I just want to be able to encourage him. You got to say it better than this, brother. You can't say, I. We are in a new dispensation. Guys, when we get back, I want you to kind of chime in the conversation. Let me take this quick commercial break and be right back after this.
Foundation.
Yeah, what boss man was saying in the back there just now.
About what? The luncheon?
Why are you always worried about food? No. About how we gotta pay a little more for national insurance.
Mildred, you talking fool. I can't afford to pay that.
And you're always crying for him out. Ain't be much. Boss still gotta pay. 1st of July, 2024.
I think that criminal benefit is what did help my boy Tony through the pandemic. That same unemployment benefit. And guess what?
What?
Susan, I think she'd get a pregnancy benefit, eh?
You mean maternity benefit, eh? So now, we gotta do our part to make sure we get our pension. All right.
For more information, visit NIPRateIncrease.com.
You try to rest, roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers. For window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Why settle for an ordinary burger when you can indulge in the new Farmhouse King at Burger King Nassau? Sink your teeth into two juicy flame-grilled beef patties piled high with crisp bacon, American cheese, crispy onions, a fried egg, and a spicy mayo sauce that adds bold flavor to every bite. Enjoy the new Farmhouse King as a combo with fries and a drink, or if you're feeling extra hungry, try the King's Feast, available exclusively at Burger King Nassau.
Here's to the go-getters, the early risers, and the late-night dreamers. You, the visionaries, painting futures in your mind, in your studio, your office, your sacred space. Here's to the adventurers, explorers of every realm. To you, the innovators, turning the cogs of progress in a world where connection is a lifeline, a pathway to possibilities. Alive is the perfect connection for everyone, every lifestyle. Every day.
Visit BeAlive.com today.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Kavandre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Foundation. Let's get right in there, guys. Foundation with Howard Grant being able to do some things. Let me read a few of these. This is Howard. We really need to get serious now. Let's get real. I'm not sure why people are making a big deal of the leadership of the opposition. How will the new leader make the life of the electorate better and cooperate? Have any one of the candidates agreed to fix the election? Or have they ensured the MPs will declare on time? Have they agreed to enact the Freedom of Information Act? These are the things that they're talking about. And this is what they were indicating, that this is why they think they need an extension and not just a one-day election. But I think that they have an entire month. This is just me. I think you have an entire month to make your case. I think that there are many spaces available and many meetings available for you to be able to make your case in various capacities. Now, if you run away from this and just trying to be able to do your thing behind closed doors, you're still going to have a problem when it comes to the general election. You could cuss who you want, cuss out, but you have to face the music. This is where we are in the country. He says, I already answered you, but you didn't read my text. LOL, no prime minister seeking a second term has such a high unfavorability numbers like Dr. Minnis. Assume that Dr. Minnis wins the Free National Movement Association vote, which he won't. You can bet no independent or FNM voter wasting their time going to the polls. And that's what Antoine and Brave banking on. They want Minnis. We can be fair, but we don't have to be delusional. This is a text that's coming through. I'm not going to fight y'all. So it says, if Minnis arguing for two terms of Prime Minister Davis, is Minnis arguing for two terms of Prime Minister Davis? If you can't do anything in one term, should we keep Davis for another? Meaning that bringing Minnis back means nothing but another loss by Minnis, in his own words. Let's. Every one of us are given 365 days, which is 1 year. Okay? The growth and development that we've seen in the country that stemmed from 1967 to 1987, right? 67, 77, 87, 20 years. Under the leadership of then premier, then transitioned to prime minister, Lyndon Penland, was marred
by the latter years being, you know, being marred by cocaine, right? By drugs. But we've seen a significant amount of infrastructural development and still not to the point of where we were from a global standpoint. 20 years, 20 some years. And in 5 years, the introduction of just a few things, just some mechanical stuff, being able to sign a few things, you gave Hubert Ingram another opportunity. Just the 5 years later, say, okay, Bala, we had enough of you. Boom. That's it. Nothing happened. See, why don't we? Nothing happened significantly from 2002 to 2007 that we could put our finger on, other than scandals that's leaked out in the Punch every single day. Every day about cabinet ministers taking on these things, about allegations, about speculations. Nothing that we could put our finger on came out of the cabinet from 2002 to 2007. Nothing. Men who get, they're infamous. They're not just famous, they're infamous. Many of them in their capacity. And yet we still gave the prime minister and those men a second opportunity. I do not understand how we could be so disingenuous. How can we forget about the decisions that we've made? This is historical. This is on paper. We've made these decisions as a society. And now we look back at them and then we want to be able to label minister absolute worst. How, Sway? How? I just want to be as decent as possible as I say this to you. Are we deducing these things simply to keep him out of the position because we were locked up? Let's be honest with us and have a clear and honest conversation. That's what I could deal with. Yeah, if you tell me, Howard, I'm indifferent with minutes because the time of non-productivity, with being able to make a determination of how we can be able to rectify these issues locally and how we can be able to get to product. Minutes didn't do those things. He made no consideration. He didn't consult the people. He went contrary to, yeah. Let's talk like that. But when you start to talk about productivity and you look at 2002 and 2012 to 17, can you make a determination? Even the former Prime Minister Perry Christie had to try to explain to you why Minnis is the worst and not him. But if you look at the numbers between 2017 to 2019, we were doing exponentially well. In fact, when we now look at progression and growth and significant numbers, everyone goes back to 2019. Let's just be decent. Let's be decent. You cannot throw the man away with the bathwater without identifying whether or not he's done something positive or whether it's all negative. And if it's all negative, the Free National Movement Council should reject him right off the top. But if they're still giving him consideration, then we should ask why. Why still consider this man? Are we being honest or are we leading with emotions because of our support for another? That's all. I feel like it's intellectually dishonest to just make assessments about these things. I ask C. Allen a very clear question. What will Michael Pintard face in the event that he wins this election, this convention, and is victorious as leader of the Free National Movement, then he steps out and vies for a position as leader of this country. What will he face? The PLP has no time to waste. None. They are ready then putting his docket together. And all of us know it, but should I be the one to say it? Should I be the one to identify the infractions of yesteryear as though I oppose him? I don't. But are we going to be disingenuous intellectually and say that he has nothing from a historic standpoint when he was chairman of the Free National Movement? Why did he step back? Let's just be decent and say that no man has his strength unto himself. But his dependency and leaning on the organization that can be able to buff these things clean is what their expectations are as we move towards leadership. Let's be decent, man. Let me take one more telephone call before I get out of here. Oh, it's 2 o'clock. I can't take enough calls. Guys, I want to thank you so very kindly for being able to do this and being able to have a conversation with me. Let's not lie to ourselves, man. Let's don't lie to ourselves. This election, internally in the Free National Movement, is a demonstration of social promotion. It's an identification of a ventriloquist behind the scenes and seeking to be able to modify the new concept and idea of what democracy should be or is based upon who got the money. Let's be decent, man. I appreciate you guys. We're going to see you all tomorrow right here on The Foundation, chopping it down. Have a great day, guys. We're going to see you tomorrow. Godspeed right here on 96.9 FM.
The Foundation. The Foundation.